No, but I own all the utilities, so it's actually times 10.
Board games on 95BFM. Our weekly chat with Waitemata local board head Pippa Coombe.
Yes, so Pippa Coombe again joined me last week before I believe we both headed down to the climate strike down in Altair Square. We talked about the upcoming elections, among other things, and about how Coombe has been selected to stand as councillor for the Waitemata and Gulf Ward on behalf of City Vision. And so I started by asking what this role is, what the councillors do, and what the difference between being a councillor and being the head of the Waitemata local board really is. Here we go.
Kia ora, thanks for having me back on. So I'm currently chair of the Waitemata local board, which has a local focus, so we're responsible for local facilities and local decision making. What I'm seeking support for is to stand as the, well, I am going to stand as the councillor for Waitemata and Gulf Ward. So from the wards, the councillors are elected to sit on the governing body with the mayor. And the governing body takes a regional focus and is responsible for regional parks, regional policy, strategy, bylaws, things in terms of investment in Auckland overall.
Right, so does it almost bring Waitemata to an Auckland-wide level?
Well, the ward of Waitemata Gulf is the way of electing the councillor. So you're a ward councillor, and I would be representing the communities of Waitemata and Gulf. So that's the Gulf Islands and the central suburbs and city centre. So it's having a voice at the governing body table for those communities, but your responsibility is to take an Auckland-wide approach and to consider the well-being of all Aucklanders.
Right. So this is quite a basic question, but is this, like, in the structure of local government, is this what would kind of be a horizontal move, or is the position of councillor slightly higher up the pyramid than chair of the local board?
Well, in the governance structure that we have, it's called co-governance. So it is non-hierarchical in terms of that the governing body can't overturn the decisions of a local board if it's a local decision. But it is a different role, and it is a bigger role in that you have to take a broader focus and you're expected to take on a higher workload. And just by the nature of the role, it's more involved, and you're more involved at a more strategic level for Auckland. And I think that's reflected in you do receive a higher honorarium because of that.
So do you become more involved in decision making for Auckland-wide region?
Yeah, so that's one of the motivations to sit around the governing body table. So that's with all the 20 councillors in total and the mayor, is to be more involved in those big decisions for Auckland.
Right, so who can stand for this role? So how do you get to the point of standing for that role? And what is the process of kind of getting to stand to that role or getting to stand for election?
So the election isn't until September, and it's a voting vote that everyone has who's registered to vote. But nominations open in August. Well, they open earlier than that, but they close in, I think it's the 12th of August. Nominations have to be in. So anyone who's willing to pay $200 can put a nomination in. So you'll find a lot of people will stand for mayor who might not have a high profile, but they'll front up with the $200, and you'll see lots of people stand for councillor and for local board member roles. What I'm doing is actually standing and have been selected to stand for City Vision, which is a coalition of Labour, Green and Community Independence. So that's where I'm putting myself forward and saying, if you agree with the progressive views of City Vision, then I'm your candidate.
Right. So it's not necessarily like a central government thing where you need a certain amount of members of a party to put yourself forward?
No. So the tradition of local government in New Zealand has been that people do stand more as independents. So right across the country, you'll have all sorts of people stand. And in some places, they will stand around parties. So, you know, in Wellington, there was a green mayor, and then there was a Labor. There is a Labor mayor in Auckland. It's sort of different across the whole of Auckland, because there's different traditions of how people will put themselves forward. So what you find in central Auckland area is that there's been a long-standing tradition of having what's called, I guess, a centre-left progressive ticket, which has been City Vision, and then a more what you could call a centre-right ticket, and that's been called different things. Well, CNR traditionally, and I think they're probably going to stand a councillor candidate. Previously, there was an Auckland Future candidate. So it's going to be interesting to see what eventuates. But we won't know for a few more months. In fact, right up until August, until the nominations are confirmed, exactly who is standing. I guess I'm quite early to put my hand up.
So we've seen a few people put their kind of hat in the ring for mayor as well. Will City Vision put someone forward for mayor, or will they instead kind of support one of the candidates that have already put their names forward?
So Mayor Gough is being supported by City Vision, and very much I imagine there'll be a formal process of actually confirming our endorsement for him. But personally, I absolutely support Phil Gough to be mayor for the second time. And you'll see some alignment around mayoral candidates lining up with the councillor candidates and local board candidates. But that's not clear how that's going to shake out yet.
So I guess as well, Mayor Gough has prior affiliations with kind of the supply parties that inform City Vision, although he is an independent candidate. In the release by City Vision declaring that you had been selected to stand for councillor, you said that you wish to serve the Waitemata area constructively, positively and effectively, and to deliver on a progressive vision for Auckland. What do you mean by what does it mean to serve constructively, positively and effectively, and what do you personally see as a progressive vision for Tamaki Makaurau?
Well, I guess my approach is very much to build relationships, build consensus, and to really use a positive approach to get things done. And I'm very focused on achieving results through being effective. And so that's what I'm putting myself forward. I think that's my strengths and what I've really shown as a local board chair, that I'm very keen to work with people and get the best results. In terms of a progressive vision, what we're seeing at the moment is we're in a huge transition in Auckland and responding to big growth, and we've got to make some big calls about how we deal with that challenge. And it could be an opportunity, which I think, you know, Auckland has amazing opportunity where we've got more diversity, more people. We can be a great place that people want to live, but there's a lot of elements that need to be really, there's elements that are really needed to make Auckland work well as a smart city. And so when I think of what's progressive about that, it's say, for example, this coming year we're going to be having a big conversation about how the city centre functions, and should we have fewer cars, should we have more focus on people, we're going to have slower speeds, we've got to deal with the pollution, how the whole city centre is developed.
Yeah, there are so many different kind of moving parts of a city, so it's difficult to, I assume it's quite difficult to kind of understand where to go with it. Is there like a balance between fulfilling the needs of Tamaki Makaurau currently and fulfilling the aspirations of Aucklanders, do you think? Do you think that aspirations and needs of Aucklanders are kind of one and the same?
Well, I think there's a real desire for Auckland to be a great place to live, and people want to be connected to their local community. They want to be able to walk up to their local shops, but there's a lot of factors that are making that difficult, like congestion and too much traffic and pollution and the environment and not being well taken care of. So at the moment, I think we're seeing a lot of tensions about how people would actually like to enjoy Auckland, but there's factors holding us back.
Yeah, so a few campaigns that kind of tie into those that are on the go slash have happened over the kind of past week, is there's a Safe Speeds thing happening at the moment, which I guess ties into that. Do you want to give us a little bit more insight into what the Safe Speeds consultation is? We touched on it briefly last week, I believe, but I mean, we can always listen and find out more about it.
So the consultation on the Safe Speeds Management Program is open until the 31st of March, and Auckland Transport are leading that. So they've proposed it's about 700 kilometres of streets will have a slower speed, and there's rural areas, and in Waitemata it's focused on the city centre. So as a board, we've been long-standing supporters that we introduce safer speeds. And that's because it will just make a big difference to how people get around and to safety, and just make it a much more pleasant place to be. So that the fact that speeds are going to be reduced was first consulted on in the city centre master plan, and there was big support for that. And it's going to be the zone within the city centre is going to be a 30k speed zone with some pockets that will be 10k. So the shared spaces are proposed to go to 10Ks.
That's an exciting way forward, I think, in terms of just looking at the city at kind of like a human scale and how pedestrians move, which perhaps we may have moved past in prior years. Another thing, you touched on the environment and pollution, I guess. That last week there was a rally about extending Queen's Wharf. Is that within the Waitemata district area?
So we don't have decision making over the wharf, but we have taken a position on the proposal to have what's called euphemistically a dolphin mooring. And dolphins, I understand, in lots of places can operate. They're just separate from the wharf. But the approach that Panuku's proposing is to have a wharf extension. And so I did speak at the rally on Sunday against it. And so we need to think about it differently. We need to think, you know, where should cruise ships be mooring up? Because right in downtown, taking over the whole of Queen's Wharf, which is meant to be a people space and is like open space for people who live in the city and work and play there, is probably not good planning or good decision making to put the cruise ships right there. And I guess to add to that is real concern about the pollution that these ships are causing. They don't actually contribute as much as we're being sold that they do. I mean, is it a really great thing for a city to have a massive cruise liner docked at the end of Queen Street if it's bringing in a lot of pollution and the economic benefits are actually probably over-egged?
You know, I think it's interesting as well. Perhaps the people that come off the cruise ships are only there for, say, 4 hours in many cases as well. So it only benefits a small area of our economy, I guess, especially with what's positioned on Lower Queen Street of where a lot of people go.
I mean, we're very supportive of the cruise ship industry and welcoming visitors. I mean, that's great. But it's more of a, yes, they do bring some benefits, but let's not overstate it because there's a lot of downsides. And there are other places that they could go. There are places that they could moor up that probably would work better for the whole of downtown and wouldn't be so disruptive. So I guess we're asking for a bit of a rethink, and also about how the wharfs work.
They are indeed. That was Board Games with Pippa Coombe.
That's not a ladder, that's an upside down snake.
Board Games on 95 BFM.